But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time, he who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen.
Let's share our prayer together. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your great glory our supreme concern. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. It's only 1 week to go. But don't worry, the football season starts again in 5 weeks, so it's okay. I'm sure you've noticed, you could hardly have missed that the World Cup's been on, and maybe you've seen some on the television, and the fans on the stand are all wearing the team shirts. They're all identifying themselves with the team they're supporting on the pitch, as well as making lots of money for the shirt makers. It's a great thing to be able to identify yourself with a team like that. You all know I grew up in Glasgow, and when I was a lad, you couldn't walk down the street with a team shirt on for fear. What a great thing it is to see those days changing. I was thinking about the contrast with Wimbledon, which is just at the end of its first week. If everybody in the stands at Wimbledon were to try and wear the shirts, there would be a lot of predominantly white in the stands at Wimbledon. It's not quite the same. As Christians, our team is the church. Our team leader is Jesus. Our desire is to know him and to live together with our God. What kind of team shirt do you think we should be wearing? How would we identify ourselves with our team, with the one holy Catholic Apostolic Church, with our one holy God? God said, "Be holy, as I am holy." God is holy in himself. He is absolutely perfect in all his ways. There is nothing to diminish God in any way. Before God, it is right that we remember his perfect holiness. It is right that we humble ourselves before our God. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. However, the Bible does, as well as encouraging us to be humble before our God, the Bible encourages us to live in the presence of our God, to be the people of God who live together with him. That's what these letters in 1 and 2 Timothy are written to do. Paul is writing to the younger Timothy, encouraging him to be the person of God, the member of the team, to identify with the team and be part of the team, to live as a citizen of the kingdom of God, to live a confident life as a disciple of Jesus. This is not only for Timothy, but for all of us, a call and encouragement for us. By God's grace, we too can be holy as he is holy. By God's grace, we are called and brought into the fellowship and life of his kingdom. Living as confident citizens of the kingdom of God, we find there are things for us to do. There are things for us to believe. There are even things for us to feel. All of these are involved in our living as God's people. Will we live as people of the Holy God? Will we live as his citizens, close with him, reflecting his likeness? Our reading began, "But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness." Flee. Pursue. It's time to get your running shoes on, is what Paul's writing here. It's time to start running away from the things which are harmful. Back in verse 4, we didn't read this verse, being puffed up with pride, the very opposite of humility. Run away from thinking better of yourself than you should. Run away from imagining that we are really important and wonderful people and that God would be honored to have us on his side. A craving for quarrels, yes, run away from that one. Too many folks love having a good row. A constant friction. If only we could run away from that one. Rubbing up against one another in such a way that irritates rather than comforts, that tears down rather than builds up, that is constantly looking for things to niggle at and complain about. It's time to get our shoes on and run away from these things. We need to flee. It isn't just enough to think, well, that's wrong. It isn't even enough just to agree, well, those aren't ways we want to live. It's time to start running away from them. It's time to start running towards some wonderful things. Paul writes of righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. Run towards being right with God. Pursue that. Chase after it. God has made us right with him in Jesus. He has already done everything in the cross and the resurrection that is needed for us to be right with him. But now God says to us, you need to run towards it. You need to run more and more into it. It's not enough just to know it's there. You need to jump in and charge after it. Pursue godliness, living in a way that honors God. Not just once a week on a Sunday honoring God when we sing together, but honoring God in how we use our money when we shop, how we drive our car, how we speak to one another, what we think about, what kind of neighbors we are, what kind of work we do when we work, and are we hard workers? Are we honest workers? Are we honoring God in everything that we do? Run towards gentleness, a much overlooked quality of life for the citizen of the kingdom of God. Living quietly and simply and gently. Living peaceably with one another. The complete opposite of a constant friction or seeking quarrels. A gentleness of heart and spirit. Run towards that. I'm sure I've mentioned before, I've got a friend, and I can still remember the night we were sitting, and he said to me, I'm going to take up running. And I said, well, that's great. You look like you could do with taking up running. How are you getting on with that? He said, I've bought a magazine. Wow. As far as I know, that's the extent of his taking up running all these years later. Paul is trying to give us something to do. We've to take up running. And if you tell me you've bought a Bible, that's good, but it's not running yet. We need to start running. The direction of travel is important. We're not running about like headless chickens. We don't know where we're going. We're just running anywhere and grabbing at anything. No, we know what we're running away from. We're running towards the likeness of Jesus. The direction in which we run is really important. The speed of travel is really important. We are to run. We are to pursue. We are to make this our aim. The idea is we are to get exhausted in pursuing this. We are to use up all our energy pursuing this goal of living like Jesus. There's a phrase we sometimes use, run for your life. Run for your life. That's exactly how we're to run here. Run because our life does depend upon it. Run because what we're called towards is far better than anything we could gain in any other way. Run towards the only life that's worth living. There is something for us to do. We have to take up running. Then Paul writes, fight the good fight of the faith. In 2018, many of us are rightly hesitant about using military language. We are hesitant about some of the hymns that use military language. There are unwelcomed associations in our culture with violence and aggression. However, such metaphors are used in Scripture. Such pictures are used of our Christian life, and it's good for us to look over them. Fight the good fight of the faith. Fight contained. Stand firm. It's time to say clearly, and we don't say it clearly often enough, we have enemies. There are people who oppose our being Christian. We have enemies who will do anything they can to stop us following Jesus. We have spiritual enemies and we have human enemies. The good fight is about resisting false teaching about God. It's about proclaiming the truth we have learned about God. That's how we fight this fight. We learn the truth about God. We resist false teaching, and we declare what we've learned to be true. But like weeds and wheat growing up side by side in a field, so from the beginning the church has been attacked from inside by such human false teaching. Jesus isn't really God. Here's a false teaching. There's lots of gods, really. There's another false teaching. It doesn't matter what you believe. That one's really popular today. We need to learn how to recognize the false teaching that humans throw at us and how to say, no, that's wrong. That's not true. We need to fight the good fight for the truth of the gospel. The good fight is about resisting our spiritual enemies. Our spiritual enemies know exactly the truth about God. Their strategy is to divert us away from the truth, to have us entertained with all sorts of things other than the gospel, to spend our time and our money pursuing our own interests and our own desires. Our spiritual enemies would destroy us eternally. Our human enemies would only close down every church in the country, burn every Bible, have us believe anything and everything. Our spiritual enemies would destroy us forever. What we believe about God matters. Fight the good fight of the faith. Fight the good fight for that which we believe about God and know about God to be true. We cannot fight this good fight if we don't know what we believe. We just can't. We're not part of the solution. If we don't know what we believe, we've actually become part of the problem. We need to know what we believe about God, why we believe it about God, and how we can hold on to it. This is why on Sundays we talk about the Bible. The Bible is our only source for accurate truth about God. It is God's Word. As we know the Bible, we know God, and what is the faith of Him. This is why we've got small groups during the week. This is why we have a book group where we read books to instruct us in our faith. Everyone's invited to join in with these. You can all buy the book. You can all come to a small group. We can all grow in knowing what we believe about God. It is possible for us all to do it. No one likes fighting, I don't think. There are a few whose personality is naturally aggressive. They might like fighting, but most of us, I think, would prefer not to be fighting. And we would prefer not to be talking about this verse. But when our faith in God is under attack, when our very life depends upon it, because if this fight is lost, we are lost forever. We need to put on the armor that God gives us, and we need to face up to the fight which we're in. We will fight the good fight by refusing to exchange the truth about God for lies. We will fight the good fight by declaring the truth we know about God to everyone. God has made Himself known. He loves us, and He loves everyone. There is a God. He has come in Jesus, and we can know Him, and we need to fight for our faith. And then today, Paul concludes, "Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Take hold of the eternal life. Eternal life in the New Testament is not about duration. The phrase does not mean it's going to go on forever. Eternal life in the New Testament is not something that only happens to people after they die. It simply isn't. In fact, if we're not living eternal life before we die, we're not somehow going to start living it after we die. Eternal life in the New Testament is more literally the life of the age or the life of the kingdom of God. The life of someone made into a citizen of God's kingdom. We need to start taking hold of that eternal life today, so that we can live it in every tomorrow. Praying to His Father, the Lord Jesus said, "Eternal life is knowing you." If eternal life is knowing God, do we know God now? Then we're living eternal life right now. We're not only going to know God after we die. Eternal life is knowing you. Well, God's making Himself known to us. We do know Him. We have started living the life of the kingdom. If we know Jesus as our Savior and Lord, we are knowing God in Jesus. We have started living eternal life. If we know the Holy Spirit at work within us, strengthening, comforting, encouraging us, we know God. We have eternal life. We need to take hold of it more and more to live the life that we have started when we come to know God. It's a season for weddings. A friend whose son was married on Thursday. We've got a wedding in the church on Friday. There's the season of weddings. I wonder if you've noticed when a girl gets engaged, there's an affliction strikes her left hand. She'll meet someone for the first time. Oh, hello. And she won't say anything, but the hand twitches because there's a ring appeared. And she expects everyone to notice. And she's not going to wait for you to notice because she's got it in her pocket. She's going to make sure you notice. Look. We have an eternal life. We are citizens of God's kingdom. God is saying to us, why not show everyone? Why not let everyone see the life that you're now living, the life of the children of God? We are in a new relationship with God, and it changes everything. How we live, how we think, how we work, everything we do is different. God is putting us, living our eternal life, on display so that the whole world might see what the life of his kingdom is like. Wow. God is your Father who loves you and cares for you. Jesus has died for us. Our sins are forgiven. We have a new life in him. The Holy Spirit is powerfully poured out upon us and at work within us. Our whole lives have been transformed forever into the life of the people of the kingdom of God. We are supposed to feel excited about this. We're supposed to feel something about this. We're supposed to feel overwhelmed with joy and love and thankfulness about this. When we get excited about something, we're supposed not to try and hold it in. We're meant to share that with everyone. You don't live in a new relationship with God and carry on as though everything's the same, because nothing's the same. Everything has changed. As we take hold of the life of the citizens of the kingdom of God, our whole life is transformed, and we are to let that show. Will we live as the people of a holy God? Will we run away from what is harmful and wicked and run towards what is good and true? Will we contend for the truth about God, knowing who God is and declaring his truth to everyone? Will we feel this overwhelming joy at having been made into citizens of God's kingdom? Will we live the life of his people? Will we live together with our holy God? Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that your new life is already at work within us, that you have started to transform us and change us into your children. We pray that we would run towards this. We pray that we would fight for this. We pray that we would live this new life which you have given us. So be powerfully at work among us for this. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.